first time I ever tried to make crab apple and rose hip jelly was about 12 years ago, and it just was a total disaster. And I've never attempted since. My husband and I, just walking back up the driveway here, my husband and I, well, we collected on a walk the crab apples and rose hips, but we weren't expecting to, and we got stung and scratched, and we filled our pockets up with crab apples and rose hips, so many so that I had enough for 2 pans when I got home. Well, to cut a long story short, the first pan I forgot about and I burnt. And the second pan, well, I left it on the side the next morning to go and fetch some sugar. And when I got back, my cleaning lady, bless her, had poured all of my gorgeous juice, pink juice, down the plug hole and washed the pan up and pushed it away. So, 12 years later, and I've come back with my treasure. This time, I only stung myself once and only got scratched once. And I've got back home, and here... Oh, ow! I've bought the branches of the rose hips back. It actually does the roses some good to get a slight prune at this time of year. And I'm about to start and put those into a pan, and we'll have a go this time. This time, I don't have a cleaning lady anymore. And I'm going to keep an eye on it, and we won't be burning it. You don't have to worry if the skins on the crab apples are slightly imperfect, because you're going to be making a jelly. So the first thing is that you chop up the apples, and they're all sorts of different shapes and sizes. Now, there is the odd bug in them, so just be a little bit careful. Just, there's that lovely sort of sour apple smell here. And they don't have to be perfectly chopped, slightly imperfectly, but what you can do is leave the pips in, because the pips contribute to the pectin content, and the pectin is actually what makes this jelly set. And you simply pull off the, here we go, slightly squidgy now, very deep red rose hips. And if you want to, you can cut them in half, it's not essential. I tend to squash them between my thumb and my forefinger. Just if you've left them on the branches like I have, just watch them. The other thing is, with these hips, I don't know if anybody used to do what I did when I was little, but they act as itching powder. So be a little bit careful. We were forever squashing them up and throwing them down somebody's the back of somebody's shirt, as our as 8-year-olds do. So do keep an eye on your hands. If you find yourself itching or scratching, put some gloves on. I can assure you, once they're cooked, this effect will just go. And all we do with those, we're just going to throw those into a pan and cover them with water. Right, I've just slightly more than covered them with water. I'm just going to pop these back over on the stove over here and put the gas on and get it up on a high gas, because all I want to do is bring it to the boil. And then I'm going to put the lid on and simmer that. Now, I suppose once it's brought to the boil, I shall simmer it for... I'm going to make a guess here at about an hour on a very, very low heat. But in effect, what you're doing is you're simmering it until those apples are effectively mush. Now, what I don't like to do too much is mess it around too much, because I don't want a cloudy jelly. So I'm going to just let it cook quietly, steaming away, and let that beautiful apple and rose hip just infuse in together, because we're going to put it through a cotton or a muslin and let that juice strain out. The whole kitchen is infused with this smell of apples, but it's not just the smell of apples. There is that rose hip that's in there. And it really just... there's something sweet about it. The crab apple itself is very tart, but this smell, it's so wholesome and fresh and, well, apple-y. It's just no other word for it. I'm just going to go get a spoon out here. I'll give it a stir and just see. Hang on. You know what? That's been bubbling away for a little while now. It's just starting to disintegrate, but it's nowhere near ready to come off there. And you're better off having a little bit more liquid in here than having too little. I'm just going to use the back of that spoon just to squash those rose hips. And as I squash them, they're kind of turning quite... that flesh is just sort of disintegrating under the back of the spoon. And out pop those rose hips. They're absolutely full of vitamin C, rose hips. They were traditionally used in the past as cough medicine. There we go. And cold remedies. So just give that another squash. And the rose hips are yielding straight away, but the crab apples, they're just not quite ready. I'm going to give that another, I don't know, another 20 minutes or so. And in the meantime, I'm going to feed my cat because she's so hungry. It's now been about 6 hours since the crab apples and the rose hips have stopped boiling. It's cooled down. And what I need to do is get the juice out. So what I've got here is some cotton. And I'm just going to dampen that down and wring it out. There we go. Now, there are several different ways you can get the juice out. The easiest way for me is to put a great big bowl down and line a colander with something for the juice just to spread through. And that will just go all night. You can do this straight after it's boiled, but I like to kind of infuse the water, and I think you get even more flavour if you let it go cold. I'm just going to pick this up here and pour this into the... I mean, I've used... really effectively a sort of tea towel shaped piece of cotton. There we go. I can just hear that now. Just dripping through there already. You can hear that gurgling. And I'm going to leave that all night. It's very important at this stage not to stir it, not to mash it up, or you'll get a very cloudy colour. The colour that's coming through here now is a sort of, I suppose it's a sort of pink, but it's a sort of peachy pink colour. And when I get back to this in the morning, all these lovely, gorgeous, squashed red rose hips and that crisp, fresh crab apple, slightly tarty crab apple, all that juice will have flowed into the pan, and I'll be able to hopefully turn that into crab apple jelly. The crab apple and rose hips have been sitting overnight in a colander in that cotton, and the juice has drained out. So I've got a sort of slightly peachy looking liquid here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to weigh the liquid. So I'm just going to pour it out of the bowl. There's a few little bits in there. And that has come to 1.345 kilograms. And what I'm going to do now is transfer that into a heavy based pan. It's certainly easier to weigh it. And then I'm just going into the pantry now. And in the pantry, I don't think I really need jam sugar. I'm going to use preserving sugar. And quite interestingly, this fair trade preserving sugar is made out of cane sugar. It's a fair trade product because I think fair trade really, if you can, then you should. Take the bag. This is 1 kilogram. And put 1 kilo into there. Now the crystals in this, interestingly, I'm just going to go back and get the other bag of sugar here. I've got a half bag here with just about 300 kilos in. I'm just going to add that in there. Put the gas on and warm this through. Now, then start it on a medium heat. The cane sugar, the preserving sugar, has got a larger crystal. So they're quite chunky looking crystals, probably about 2 millimetres across. And for some reason, and I don't know the science behind this, but for some reason, the larger the crystal, the clearer the jelly. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to warm this up and get it so that it is just boiling. And in the meantime, I'm going to put a saucer into the fridge. And I want that to cool down because that is how I'm going to test and see if my jelly is set. That can just wait there for the time being. Whilst that liquid is just warming through with the sugar in, it's got equal quantities of sugar against liquid. So there's 1,344 grams of liquid, and I've put exactly the same amount of sugar in there. In the meantime, I've just been washing up jam jars, and I'm going to sterilise them. It sounds like it's very complicated, and people think, oh, sterilising jam jars. But all I'm going to do is pop them onto a tray, pop them in the oven, which I'm just going to pop that oven on, and pop it in for about, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes on about 140, 150. And that is enough to get them really hot. But the other thing that that does is it warms them through. Because if you put boiling sugar straight into a cold jam jar, if you have a weak jam jar, it will crack and it will split. So by warming those jam jars up, there's not such a shock to the glass when the boiling or hot liquid hits it. Once those jam jars are sterile, you will find that that jam should keep for up to, well, I say up to 2 years, but to be fair, I've eaten jam much older than that. You can hear me just going in the drawers here and walking around the kitchen, because as that liquid is just bubbling and boiling up, there's a sort of, I suppose, a sort of scum forming on top. And I'm just taking a spoon right around the edge of it and just lifting it off. It almost looks like, you know, at the seaside when there's a corner where the waves have been going in on the sand and there's that sort of froth on the side. That's what it looks like. I'm just literally taking off the top millimetre. And one of the things that does is that allows that jelly to have a really clear set, because when that jelly sets, you want it to look like a jewel. You want it to look beautiful and jelly, well, jelly-like, jewel-like. There isn't that much on here, but I'm going to get every last little bit off. You can hear that boiling away. There we are. Now I'm going to bring that heat right up and get it on a full rolling boil. It's quite important when you are doing this not to have any distractions. So I've made sure that the children are actually at school, all the pets are out of the way, I'm not answering the phone if it rings. I've got a clear run at it. There's a clear area in the kitchen. There's nothing to get in the way, because in effect, what you've got here is you've got boiling sugar. And it's not complicated, and it's not actually that dangerous, but it's hot. And you really don't want to get any of this on your skin, because it is at a very, sugar is at a very, very high temperature. Just taking a little bit more of that off the top. Don't worry if it sort of sets and you get a little bit of jelly at the bottom, that's absolutely fine. You can treat yourself to that afterwards. And because I've put a little bit of extra water into this one, it might take a few minutes to set. There's some pectin in there already naturally, and that's what actually makes the jelly set. So I'm going to give that a really good boil for a few minutes until I can see that it's just starting to thicken up and starting to show some little quiet wrinkles across the top, and then it will be ready to test. Well, as this has been boiling away, the colour has changed. It's gone from a sort of light peachy colour to a deep amber colour, and it's thickened up. I can tell you, the whole house smells again of crab apples and just a whisper of roses. It's not overpowering. That rose hip is sort of just a whisper at the back of it. In the meantime, I'm going back in the fridge, grabbing my saucer, and what I'm going to do is take a drop of this, just pour that onto the saucer just there. Now, it doesn't quite look as though it's ready to me, but I'm going to put the saucer back in the fridge. Because it's not ready, I don't think it is, I'm going to put that in the fridge to see. And what I'm looking for is I'm looking for that to go cold, and in effect I'm looking for a set. Because I don't think it's quite ready, I'm going to keep this boiling. But if I was quite certain that it was ready, I might turn that off the boil so it stops cooking. Because what you don't want is you don't want that jelly to set rock hard. When you scoop out a spoon to put on your crumpets or your toast, you don't want it set hard. You want it into a gentle kind of French set, slightly soft set, so that it just melds in with the melted butter and just kind of seeps into the holes in that crumpet, so that when you bite in, you get all of that gorgeous, slightly tart, sweet, apple-y, buttery taste, rather than something that just kind of sits on top with no texture. So it's really important not to overboil your jelly as much as it is important to boil it to get it to set. Well, this sauce is out of the fridge now and it's cold. I'm just going to put it on the side. And I'm simply going to take my middle finger, my index finger, and start at the outside edge. And I'm pushing my finger through the centre of that jam. And you know what? There is a beautiful wrinkle straight through the middle, and I know for certain that the pectin and the sugar have come together. It's worked beautifully, and that wrinkle across there, and that soft, and I can tell that it's softly set, it's not sort of too firm. That wrinkle tells me that when the jam or the jelly goes into those jam jars and it goes cold, then it will be set. Now, there's lots of scientific ways you can go about this. People will talk to you about sugar thermometers. People will talk to you about how long to boil it for or what temperature. You don't need to do that. You just need to watch that sugar and that liquid boiling. And you, as you watch it, you will see that the boil itself changes. It kind of goes from being quite an open, large bubble to just starting to become a smaller bubble as that syrup and as that set takes place. So it's important to watch it. What you don't want it to do is set in the pan. It needs to be still viscous, still liquidy, and that will give you a beautiful, soft set crabapple and rosehip jelly that captures everything about autumn in that jar. And I have plans for crumpets, big pot of hot tea in front of a crackling fire in November. It's the perfect thing to smother on those hot buttered crumpets just as the children come in from school. It keeps me going through the darkest time of year.